the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, there were goyim called the Yavanim. And the Yavanim had a king named Antiochus. Not Uncle Yochus, but Antiochus. Antiochus, kinalach, he did not just want to be the king of Yavan, he wanted to be the king of the whole world. Like a person that's got $1, they would like to have $2. The person that's got two, he wants five. If he wants five, he wants 100. And if he wants 100, he wants 200. And if he has 200, he wants 400. There's certain things that the more you have, the more you want, and you're never satisfied. Antiochus wanted to be the king of every place. Now, if he's the king of a place, he wants to boss around the people. And he wants everybody to act like he wants them to act. He wants them to behave like he wants. In fact, he wants them to dress in the clothes he likes. He wants them to read the books that he likes to read. He wants them to listen to the music that he likes to listen to. He wants them to eat the food that he wants, that he likes them to eat, that he wants to eat himself. He wants everybody to be like him. There are some people that can't stand if somebody's different. Everybody has to be just like them. Imagine if everybody looked exactly like you, with your face, your clothes, acted like you. Is that what you want? Everybody should be exactly like you? Or there's different kinds of people, different kinds of things. That's the way Hashem made the world. There are different colors, there are different kinds of foods, there are different kinds of places. There's all kinds of different kind of things. Look at flowers. Look how many different kind of flowers there are. Everybody doesn't have to be the same. Antiochus wanted everybody to be like Yavanim. He goes to a place with his armies and he says, okay, people in this city, you are now going to become like us Yavanim. If you want, then we'll show you what to do. If you don't want, we're going to make a big fight and a big war, and you're all going to be finished. And Antiochus had a big army, and he was very powerful. And he would go into places, and people would get so scared, they would say, okay, Antiochus, hey, we'll do what you want. Okay, this is how you're going to dress now. Put on these clothes. And he would give them the goyish clothes that he likes. Okay, now this is the kind of food you have to eat. This is the kind of books you have to have. Throw out all the books from your house and read these kind of books. And they would do it. All right, this is how you have to look. And this is how you have to wear your hair. You have to comb your hair like this. Okay, this music, this is what you have to listen to. Not the other kind of music that you like to listen to. Now, a lot of the people, since they were afraid of Antiochus, they did what he said. But then, kinalach, Antiochus came with his armies to Eretz Israel. Just think what happened when he came to Eretz Israel. Okay, Antiochus is here with the Yavanim. Get ready, Eretz Israel. We're here. We're going to now be the boss of Eretz Israel. I'm a powerful king. And the Yidden said, you're no powerful king. Our king is much more powerful than you. Go away. Antiochus says, nobody's more powerful than me. I'm starting to get upset. Now you do what I want. Here's the kind of clothes I want you to wear. Everyone has to be like Yavanim. The Yidden said, we're not going to wear these kind of clothes. Goyish clothes? You kidding? These fancy, bright, goyish clothes? These shoes? This kind of shirts? Or this kind of dresses for the women that sneeze stick? Throw your clothes in the garbage. We're not going to wear it. Oh, Antiochus got very angry. Nobody talks to him like that. This is the food that the Yavanim eat. Now you're going to have to eat this food. The Yidden said, food? We have kosher food. You think we're going to eat this kind of food? Chazer, metreif? Throw it in the garbage can. Oh, Antiochus got very angry. And this is the kind of books you have to read. Our goyish books. From Yavan. Now take the books out of your shelves and here's the Yavanim books. The Yidden said, these books, goyish books, makes your head tummy? Oh, forget it. We're not going to read these kind of books. Take the books back. We have Sfarim, Halakha Sfarim from the Teda. Oh, Antiochus starts getting very angry. Here's the kind of music you have to listen to. Now listen to some of our Goyish music. And the Yidden said, this kind of music, turn it off. Ugh. We have Nigunim. We have Yiddish Nigunim, what we sing. We don't need your music. We have our Nigunim, beautiful Halakha Nigunim that are for the Neshama. And the Yevanim and Antiochus got very angry that the Yidden started to say no. And they didn't do what the Yevanim said. And now Antiochus brings the Yevanim into Eretz Israel with big gigantic armies. And he starts to make zedas against the Yidden. And he starts to go against the Yidden. Don't tell me about your Torah. And don't tell me about your mitzvahs. I'm going to be the boss over here. And you have to do what I say. And you have to behave the way I want. And the Yidden said, we have to behave the way the Torah wants. And there was big fights. And so many soldiers. And even Kinalach, a lot of the Yidden became afraid. Because there were so many Goyim and so many soldiers and they were so mean and making Zedus. Because if the Yidden didn't do what they said, they did terrible things to the Yidden. Many of the Yidden, Kinalach, started to put on the clothes. And they started to learn the books. And listen to the Goyish music. And even Chas HaShalom eat the Goyish food. Because they were so afraid. And they started getting Goyish names. Instead of Gershon, it was Jason. And instead of Chaim, it was Harold. Or whatever it was. Instead of Shmuel, it was Sam. And so Kinalach, many of the Yidden became Misyavnim. Misyavnim means like the Yavanim, because they were so afraid. Until finally, Kinalach, there was only a few Yidden that were still keeping Teda and Mitzvahs in the Halakha way. Kinalach, really, the Rambam says that every Yid only wants to do Teda and Mitzvahs, deep down inside. Only what would become the Misyavnim? The Yitzhahara makes a person that he thinks that he wants the other way. But really, deep down inside, he only wants Torah and Mitzvahs. The Yevanim went into the base of Mikdash, Kinalach, and they chased out all the Kayanim, and they went into the base of Mikdash, and they said, we're also going to make the base of Mikdash a place for the Yevanim, and there's going to be no more Menorah lighting, and no more Karbanos, and no more things in the base of Mikdash, and they put Getchkes in the base of Mikdash. And then, Kinalach, they went into the room of the oil for the menorah. The Yevanim knew, Kinalach, that the Beis HaMikdash was a house for Hashem. Even though they were against Hashem, that they knew that the Jews believed in Hashem. The Jews believed Hashem was Halak. The Yevanim did not believe in Halakite. What is Halakite? What is Halakite? I'll tell you what Halakite is. The Yevanim said like this. On Sunday is your day off. By the Yevanim, the Sunday is the quiet day that you rest. And every other day you work. Sunday you have off. The Yidden said, we're sorry, but on Shabbos, that's our day of rest, not Sunday. Our Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. Not Sunday. The Yevanim said, well, since we are here and we're the boss, we're going to make according to our rules. So instead of now Saturday, you're going to rest on Sunday. Oh no, we're sorry. And the Yevanim said, what's the difference if you rest on Saturday or you rest on Sunday? The Yidden said, because Hashem said that we should rest on Shabbos and not on Sunday and not on a different day. It's Shabbos Kodesh. This is what Hashem wants. The Yevanim didn't like that. He said, well, what is the difference if you rest on this day or that day? Now, can you explain it? You can't explain it. Only you say which day that Hashem chose to rest. Shabbos, right? Now, Kinalach, the Yavanim said, we have many smart books. You read our books and don't read the Torah. The Yidden said, we don't read the Torah, we learn the Torah, and we do what the Torah says. And your books we're not interested in because we have our own Sfarim. Because our own Sfarim are very smart. So the Yavanim said, what is the difference if you learn our books or your books? And the Yidden said, our books are Halik. This is what we learn. The Yavanim could not stand that it's Halik, that it's special. Then they said, okay, you can learn the Torah like a book, like any other book. There's stories there. There's all kinds of smart things. But we're not going to let you do what the Torah says. Why should you do what the Torah says? You read a book. You like the book. You write the story. You like the stories. Then later on you close the book and you do what you want. That's what the Yavanim do. We do whatever we want. The Yidden said, but we don't do what we want. That's not what we're here in the world for. We're here to do what Hashem wants. And they said, again, Hashem, where is Hashem? We never saw Hashem. We have our own getchkes. You put getchkes in the house and you dive into getchkes, not Hashem. And of course, the Yidden said, we don't believe in the getchkes. We believe in Hashem. And Kinalach, the Yavanim could not stand this idea of Hashem. You can't see him. You never saw him in your life. And every day you're doing things for Hashem and you never saw him. The Yavanim couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand, why can't you eat a piece of chazer? It tastes good. The Yidden said, we don't care it tastes good. It's got to be kosher. Then the Yavanim said, what is kosher? We don't see what makes it kosher. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't look different than anything else. Why is this kosher and it's not kosher? Two pieces of meat. One is kosher, one is not kosher. They look the same. Why can't you eat this? The Yidden said, it's not kosher. It's not according to the laws of the Torah. And the Yavanim said, again the Torah, what are you talking about? Then they see a Yid washing Nagelmaster. What are you doing? What are you washing like that? One here, one there, again here, again there, back and forth. What are you washing off? Your hands are clean. I'm washing off the Tumah. What Tumah? I don't see anything. Your hands look like my hands. Deruach HaTumah, when I sleep, there's a ruach from the Yetzirah, and then it goes away, and on my fingers is left tumah, and the Yavanim look at the fingers. We don't see any tumah. We don't see anything. You're talking about stuff, we don't see anything. Then they see a Yid, he's davening Shemoneh Esrei by the wall. And mister, who are you talking to? You're talking over there, and there's nobody there. It looks like you're talking to the wall. And the Yid says, I'm davening to Hashem. Where's Hashem? In the wall? He can't hear you. The wall is thick. On the other side of the wall, there's nothing over there. No, Hashem is everywhere. We don't see Hashem. We see a wall. You're talking to the wall, mister. What are you doing? Shh. And then they see a Yid with tzitzis. Excuse me, why you have strings coming out of your pants? These are tzitzis. We remember all the mitzvahs. They couldn't understand what is tzitzis. And they see another man with tefillin on his head. What's the boxes there? It's tefillin. What's tefillin? We're davening to Hashem. Again Hashem, with tefillin, with boxes. And they see a Yid, he's pouring a bottle of wine down the drain. Excuse me, why are you pouring that wine away? What's wrong with that wine? I'm sorry, but somebody looked at it who wasn't supposed to look at it. Wait a minute. Doesn't the wine taste good? Yeah, of course it tastes good. It's fine. But somebody looked at it. If a goy looks at wine, you shouldn't use it for Kiddush or for Avdallah. So what am I going to do with the wine? So I'm pouring it out. Somebody looked at it. Now, can you understand this? Of course you can't understand this. This is all things to do with Halakhite. The Yavanim saw mommy and she's saying Shema Yisrael with the baby. What are you doing talking to the baby? Understands what you're saying? Of course not. He doesn't understand. So what are you talking to him for? We're saying Shema Yisrael. Talking about Hashem. Again Hashem. He's talking to a baby. Doesn't understand anything. And the baby is supposed to talk about Hashem. Mommy lifts up the baby to the mezuzah to give a kush to the mezuzah. What is that baby kissing that thing? What is that? It's a mezuzah. What is he kissing it for? Now, Kenelach, the Yevanim decided that they want to get rid of all Kedusha, all Halakhit. They didn't mind the Torah being a book like a book, like with stories. They could not stand that the Yidden did what the Torah says, and they believe in Hashem. They could not stand that the Yidden have special food, special clothes, special things they do that make them act different. They didn't like anybody to act different. And Antiochus said, go and get rid of all the Halakhit and start with the Beis HaMikdash. They went in the room of oil that they used to use for the Menorah, and the oil was all Halak. It was all very special. And the Goyim went over there and they opened every bottle of oil and they stuck in their fingers in the oil. And they said, ha-ha, we're making it Tamei. They didn't talk about something is Tahir and something is Tamei. We know if we stick our fingers in the oil, we're going to make it all Tamei. And then they're going to go to the Menorah. And if they burn it in the Menorah, the light is going to be Tamei. We're going to make the Yidden Tamei. It's not going to be Halak anymore. We're going to make the Torah Tamei. And the Yidden are not going to believe anymore in anything Halak. Only regular stories. They'll eat food because it tastes good, not because it's special and kosher. They wear clothes because they look good, not because this is the way a Yid dresses. That's all. Just like anybody else. They'll do what they want. They like it, they'll do it. They don't like it, they don't do it. Finished. They made the oil tummy. And they put up getchkes in the base of Mikdash. And they dive into the getchkes. Now, Kinalach, they also put getchkes in every marketplace. And they made Yidden bow down. And if the Yidden would not bow down, they would do terrible things to them. And there was other gzeiros that the Yevanim made against Shabbos and against learning Torah and against Rosh Chodesh and against all kinds of things, Bris Milah. And it was a terrible time. There were a few Yidden that were not going to give up Torah and mitzvahs even if they'll get killed. They decided, even if they have to go on Mesiras Nefesh, they're going to keep Torah and mitzvahs. And they were not going to be afraid of the Goyim. Now one day, in the town of Modin, there came a group of soldiers, and they took a getchke, and they put it up in the marketplace, and they said, all Jews come to bow down to the getchke. Antiochus orders all Jews to come down and bow down to the getchke. And Kinelach, in that town lived Matisyahu, who was the son of Yehonan the Kohen Gadol. And Matisyahu had five sons, big tzaddikim. And they came out, Kinelach, Matisyahu and his sons, and they said, Jews, don't go down, but go, do not. They said, Yidden, do not go and bow down to the getchke. Don't listen to the Yevanim. Don't listen to the Goyim. Stick with Hashem, and Hashem will take care. And these Yevanim, one day, will get out of Eretz Yisrael. Don't listen to them. And Kinelach, the soldiers started to scream, don't talk against us and Antiochus. We'll tell you what you have to do, or else you're finished. And there was a Yid who was standing there, who was very afraid, and he went over to bow down to the getchke. The soldier said, look, hey, we're getting a Jew to bow down to the getchke. See? All Jews bow down to the getchke. And Kinelach, Yehuda, and his father Matisyahu, and the other brothers, they went and they made a fight with the soldiers and they killed the soldiers, and they said to the Yidden, don't bow down to no getchke. Don't follow the example of the Misyavnim, only stick with Hashem. In Kinelech, they said, all Jews who are on Hashem's side, come with us. Because Hashem is the greatest in the whole world, greater than Antiochus and greater than all of his Getchkes that belong in the garbage can. And they said the Pasik, Mi Kamaicha Bakelim Hashem. Now, Mi Kamaicha Bakelim Hashem spells each the first letter Maccabee. And they said, we're going to make an army called the Maccabees. And we're going to go into the mountains and live in caves. And we're going to fight these Yevanim until we kick them out of Eretz Israel. Who is on Hashem's side? Come with us. And we're going to make the Maccabees an army. And many Yidden Kinelech went with Yehuda and with his brothers. And they went into the caves. And of course, Tati Matisyahu went up there. And he started making an army to fight the Yevanim. Now, most of the other Jews were afraid to go to the caves. And they were living like Yevanim. Only a few Yidden who were not in the spoil and not afraid of the Yevanim and Antiochus were living in the caves. And with tricky ways, they would fight the Yevanim. A few Yidden could sometimes kill many Yevanim if they fought in a smart way, in a tricky way. And Antiochus found out that there's a group of Jews that are making an army and fighting. And he started searching around for them up in the caves, up in the mountains. But the Yidden were hiding in secret caves that nobody could find. And all kinds of different times, they would jump out of trees and come out behind rocks and kill Yevanim. And the generals would go around and find their soldiers dead all over the place. And they couldn't even find out who killed them. They knew the Yidden did it. And they started to search for the Yidden and making more armies and more armies. And then every once in a while, Yidden would surprise them and start killing them. And the Yidden, Kinelech, finally did so much trouble for the Yevanim. Were killing so many Yevanim and making so much trouble for them that finally the Yevanim sent a gigantic army. The Yidden fought that army and killed the soldiers. And the Yevanim said, we're getting out of here. They became afraid of the Yidden. And the Yevanim started to leave Eretz Israel. And on the 25th day of Kislev, Chaf Hei Kislev, Yehuda and the brothers and the army of Yidden went into the Beis HaMikdash. And they cleaned out the Getchkes. They took away all the Getchkes and they broke them and put them in the garbage can. And they cleaned up the Beis HaMikdash. And now they want to start again the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. This happened on Chaf Hei Kislev, which is of course now Hanukkah. They went to the Menorah. And now we want to do the mitzvah of lighting the Menorah. They went to get the oil from the room of the oils. And they went in and they saw that all the oil was broken. The bottles were broken open. And the seals on all the bottles, in other words, like the wrapper around that showed that it's good, was all broken. The oil was still there. They said, what happened here? The goyim came into the oil. They didn't steal it. They left it here. But they broke all the seals. And the tops were off. And they realized that the goyim stuck their fingers in the oil and they made a tame. And they realized, Kinelech, that the goyim did that for a reason, because they wanted to make the menorah tame. And somebody said, according to the law, if we don't have any other oil, we're allowed to use oil that's tame in the menorah. But Yehuda and his brothers said, the whole thing we're fighting against with the Yevanim is not we should just do a mitzvah with a tomedik away. Not that we should do a mitzvah in a way that's tame. The whole thing we're fighting for is the kedusha, the helikite of Torah mitzvahs. No, we cannot light the menorah with tomedik oil, even if it's allowed. Yiddishkeit is not, you just do what you're allowed and that's it. You do it in the best possible way with Helikite, with Kedusha. That's how you do it. Okay, and so they decided they're not going to light the Menorah with the Tamedika oil. They have to get pure oil. Shemen Zeis, olive oil, which is pure. Now, how do they do that? They have to travel up to the north of Eretz Yisrael where the olives grow. Wait a minute. I left out the most important part. They decided, now listen very closely because I'm teaching you a lot of stuff here. They decided that they are not going to use the Tomedica oil. What will they use for the Menorah? What will they use? They're going to use pure olive oil. To get the pure olive oil, they're going to have to travel. 1 minute. They're going to have to travel 3 days to get it. It takes 3 days to get all the way up to the top of Eretz Yisrael where the olive trees grow. They're going to have to spend a whole day making it. Then they're going to have to travel back another 3 days. How many days is that? 7 days. It's gonna be 7 days until they're able to get oil. 7 days. And then there's going to be Shabbos where they can't travel and they can't work. It's going to be 8 days. That means they have a mitzvah they could do now, but they don't want to do it because it's not halakha oil. Otherwise, now, it's a mitzvah to light the Beneda. Should they use the oil? They don't want to. It's tummy. Now they're going to have to wait 8 days. And somebody says, maybe there's a way now to do the mitzvah of the Menorah with halakha oil instead of having to wait 8 days. But they said, we looked through all of the oil in the room and every single bottle, the seal is broken and the top is off and somebody stuck their fingers in it. We looked at every bit of oil, every bottle of oil. How can we do the mitzvah if all the oil is tameh? And somebody said, maybe there's one bottle of oil in the room that's not tameh. But they said, but we looked at all the bottles. And somebody said, let's dig in the floor. Maybe there's a bottle in the floor. It's a part of the room. They said, what do you mean in the floor? Who puts oil in the floor? It's on shelves in the room. They said, look, who knows why? I have a feeling that if we dig in the floor, it could be that for some reason there is a bottle in the floor. Now, Kinalach, it could be also, for example, when Shlemi HaMelech built the first base of Mikdash, he built a room in the mountain way, way down in a secret tunnel, and in that room would be a hiding place for the Aron HaKodesh. Why do they need a place for the Aron HaKodesh? Because the Ruach HaKodesh, someday, Shlemi HaMelech knew that someday the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. The Goyim would come into the Beis HaMikdash and want to steal the Aron HaKodesh. But he would make a hiding place for the Aron HaKodesh. And sure enough, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the Aron HaKodesh by itself started to move. It went into the hallway. It went into the mountain, way down the tunnel. And it went by itself into the room. And it hid itself in that room. When the Kohanim chased down the hallway to try to find the room, they couldn't even find the room. There was a secret door there. And to this day, the Aron HaKodesh is still in that room and nobody knows exactly where it is. And when Mashiach comes, it'll come out and go into the third base of Mikdash. In other words, what am I telling you? Even before the trouble happened, Atzadik with Ruach HaKodesh had a way that when the trouble happens, there will be some kind of a help and there will be a place that there will be a help for the trouble. Maybe, they said, the tzaddikim with Ruach HaKodesh, it could be, maybe they knew that this would happen, and maybe, who knows, for some reason, they buried a bottle of oil in the floor. Maybe. Kinelach, they dug in the floor, and sure enough, they found a bottle of oil in the floor. Somebody, for whatever reason, and we don't know why, somebody had put a bottle of oil in the ground, in the floor. They dug and they found it. And they read the name on the seal.